This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
I would know.
His name is William Bedford, former Tiger star, center, number six pick of the Phoenix Suns in the 1986 draft. Played at Memphis from 83 to 86. We called it Memphis State then. Old little Jay Smooth was cheering for him in the Final Four. One of the program's best shot blockers, best bigs we've ever produced out of the city of Memphis. Don't ever forget, he's a Melrose Golden Wildcat as well. And as of next month, he will officially be a Hall of Famer. American Basketball Hall of Fame. He's going in Detroit, Michigan. Be a ceremony on August 17th. We are so happy and pleased for him, just so grateful that you could join us. Brother Bedford, how are you, sir? You look great.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. I can't complain. I'm doing good.
But you look great. I'm always in awe of your presence. In your presence, you look really strong.
Well, I don't think
last time you were in here you weren't married. We were just talking about that.
Oh yeah.
You weren't married. You might have been cooking for yourself back then. Maybe you were having to go out and find your own meals.
Yeah, I was going out and find my own meals.
That's what it is. You look like you've made somebody very happy.
Well, they made me very happy.
Yeah. So you're a married man since we last had you in here. Is that correct?
Yes, very much so.
And that's the little, I don't know if we can talk about it or not. I think we
can.
Yeah,
sure. Stephanie Gatewood. Sure,
the lovely Miss Stephanie Gatewood, who all of Memphis knows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ironic that every time we go somewhere, we are to dinner or, you know, walking somewhere, doing whatever, they'll run up to her and know her. Then people run up to me and know me. And then the same people know her. It's like, how come we never cross paths?
We never
did cross paths, and we know the same people.
Y'all are a celebrity Memphis couple. I imagine anywhere you go, at some point, you're getting stopped, whether it's her or you.
Right, right. That's true.
I guess the other one has to be prepared for that, because that's what happens when you're celebrity.
Well, it goes with if you're in the public figure, you know, you gotta be cordial and represent yourself as well as, you know, the organization you're from, or, you know, you don't be nasty to people, you know. It's like us. If we see a star or something we see on TV sometime, we're going to run up and act like groupies too. So,
yep.
I mean, I would. I've done it. So that's why I've always just, you know, I'd be cordial to people. I sign autographs, speak to them, take pictures. It doesn't bother me.
Tell us about your selection into the American Basketball Hall of Fame. How much did you know about it? Because I think it's been in existence since 2019 beforehand. And then tell us how they let you know.
Well, I didn't know anything about it until I got the letter first, and the letter looks like it just doesn't look like a real letter. You know what I mean? It's like you're not expecting this kind of mail that says American Basketball League. It's wait a minute. And then it's telling me I'm being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm like, this is not true. This paper ain't true. This mail ain't true.
So I called
a friend of mine named Jordan Queen, and he's actually the director of this American Basketball League. And I asked him, was this true? And he said, yes, it was true. And I was totally shocked, totally shocked.
And so where is it? It's Detroit?
Detroit.
Yeah, it's in Detroit. Now, they changed the dates from August 27th They changed it to November the 9th.
Oh, okay.
I believe in order to get a chance for everybody to, you know, to make their plans and to get there.
Still going to be at the Charles Wright Museum of African American History.
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it's going to be a different place.
Do you know who some of your fellow inductees are?
Yeah, I got Vernon Maxwell.
Oh, wow.
Alvin Robertson, he's in there. Quite a few other players and women.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, Vernon Maxwell. He's a character.
That's my dude.
It is.
My dude.
Does he have a podcast or something now, or is he a guest on somebody else? I always see him.
He does so much. He got his own podcast, plus he's on like thousands of us. So, you know, he's Mad Max.
Mad Max. Always was.
Always was. Always will be.
And still is, yes. Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't seem like he's changed that much.
Always will be. Good dude, though.
How about
good-hearted
you?
Good-hearted dude.
How about you? You don't seem like you've changed in terms of that old, that gentle giant spirit that you had a kind when you came in here back with a 17, 18,
that's
everything
right.
else. You could have been a guy that, I mean, you played in the NBA. You were the number six pick. We're coming to you. And felt that way and maybe felt a way towards us, but you always seemed down to earth and relatable, and that doesn't seem like it's changed whatsoever.
Well, see,
and you seem settled now here.
Well,
in
I think I just... I'm like that because of my parents. I grew up with both parents, you know, and that's very unfortunate for a lot of people. But I grew up with both of them in the house, and my mom always told us how to be humble at all times, you know, because nothing is promised to you. And there's a lot of people out here that did not make it to the place where you are, you know, and there's a lot of them that won't make it. So be blessed and be humble that you are there.
That's a good word. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you put that in. You got to put that in a speech. Are you preparing your speech, your Hall
Ooh,
of Fame speech?
Man, I've thought it's about important. So much. I've thought about so much in this speech, but I'm probably going to have somebody help me write it because there's a lot to say, and you don't have a few minutes. But I mean, it's a lot of people to thank along the way. Now I see how people get up and do speeches at awards, and they up there so long because you start remembering all the people that had something to do with you being here.
Yep.
And you don't want to leave nobody out.
Right.
You know, because right. Well, you didn't talk about me. Well, yes, I did. I just.
It's time constraint.
Time consuming. And then, you know, you rush to talk and it's like,
yep.
Ugh.
Yep.
So you can't get everybody out at once.
So not to ask what the speech is going to be, but in terms of like what's one thing you absolutely want to have in there, whether it's a person or a memory or just.
I would really like to express to people how young athletes, whether it's basketball, football, or whatever, they look to go out and perform at the highest level. But when they don't, they go into depression or either mental illness. Stress leads to mental illness, you know, and that's running rapid these days. You look at all these guys that's coming out now going into playing basketball at a young age. They're going in there under pressure to perform. Now, who's going to talk to these guys about how they feel after they don't have a good game? You know, who they're going to turn to? So I think they need to have something in place to help all athletes, not just one or two, all of them.
Is that something that you dealt with?
I still deal with it. If I have something big going on, I have a lot of anxiety. Mm. It's like, you know, it's hard for me to just go out there and face everybody. Half the time I'll give it up. I say, no, I'm not going. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be in front of all those people. You know, it was very, very difficult to play in front of a lot of people. And especially when you're supposed to be the number one go-to guy or you in there for a certain reason and you don't fulfill that reason, you beat yourself up for it.
Mm. What's brought you out of those times?
Because
you're right here in front of us.
Just teammates, coaches, other people that's been in my shoes before. You know, I kind of had a little guidance going away, but I didn't have nobody in front of me that did this before me. You know, I didn't have anybody that was a professional athlete before me, like anybody in the family or anything. So
right.
I think the ones that do, they should stick together and stick with these kids, man, because, I mean, they also have to perform like that because of their peers. You know, their peers give them the most stress. Because if you don't make a free throw or you don't do what you're supposed to do on the assignment, you're going to hear that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear that probably a couple of weeks. And it might become a yearly joke. So you got to learn to deal with that.
Who did you have around you when you get out to Phoenix? What, in 86 it was? You're the number
yes.
six pick. Like, who was your circle back then mm-hmm. when you're leaving Memphis to go out there?
Well, I had my agent's son named Kevin Merriweather from Indianapolis. I had him move out with me the first time, my first year in Phoenix, because I didn't know anything about traveling, packing, making appointments, being here, being there. You know, I didn't know anything about that because coming out of college, you know, you're in the dorm. You go to class, you come back, you go to practice, right to the gym, and you come back.
Everything else you need done and, for you.
Yeah, everything is done for you. Everything is right here. So now you got to do things for yourself. Nobody is telling you you got to be here or do this, that, and the other. You got to put in your mind, hey, I'm in the NBA now. I'm responsible for everything.
And you didn't pick up a ball till high school, so it's not like this had always been the lifetime.
I didn't pick up basketball till I was in the ninth grade.
It was later. Yeah,
in the ninth grade, I played ninth, 10th, 11th, and I went to University of Memphis, freshman, sophomore, junior, and got drafted.
And that's what I'm saying. And very quickly, this is your job now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You hadn't been playing it coming up 7, 8, 9 years old. Very
mm-hmm.
quickly becomes your job and livelihood, something that you just probably thought, okay, this is fun.
Things happen so fast for me. I'm talking about it was so fast that I was there before I knew it.
Mm.
You know, I'm in a practice, and I'm sitting here like, I am actually in the NBA. And I was in Phoenix. And I was just standing there one time by myself, just looking around, and then Ed Pinckney walked up to me. He said, "You all right?" I said, "Man, I don't know." He said, "What's wrong? You okay? You sick or something?" I said, "No." I said, "We in the NBA." And he just started laughing. So it's a picture of us standing up together laughing, but people didn't know what that conversation was. And he was laughing at me because he was like, "Didn't you expect to come here?" I was like, "No, I didn't." And ever since then, for that first year in Phoenix, me and Ed hung out a lot, talked a lot, and he was a pretty good guy.
Well, I mean, and it was you know, one of your better years in the NBA as well.
Right.
And I wonder if like having somebody like that, and then maybe you didn't have that in Detroit, or maybe you did, I don't know, but it just feels like having that helped.
I think I had that best year because of Ed Pinckney and Larry Nance. Those two guys right there taught me a lot. You know, Larry Nance told me, man, you got to run and play hard every trip of the train, not just once, mm-hmm. not just twice because you done scored. Every time when the ball changes ends, you should change ends. And that taught me a lot about running. Now, the person that told me about being able to play and run like that, because I used to run all the time. I used to ride bikes. I used to do wheelies, all everything, all the way around blocks. But Coach Virtus Sales and Dorsett Sims both told me, all you have to do is outrun your opponent. Because they say most centers is not going to run up down the floor as many times as you change ends.
Mm.
So I just took in my mind, okay, every time the ball change, I'm going to change. That's the third time I've heard it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you do that 90% of the time, the ball will be in your hands.
And you make millions of dollars.
So I was like, I want to dunk the ball every time then. So that's why I used to run so fast, because I wanted that dunk.
Well, tell us, you wanted that dunk, but tell us about this hitting three threes in less than a minute. What were the circumstances? You were a Piston, I think it was early 90s or around there.
Right.
Maybe late 80s.
Right.
Chuck Daly's the coach.
Yes.
How in the world is he letting William Bedford shoot three threes in a minute? What were the circumstances?
Well, you know how they always tell you, stay ready. You know, you always got to be ready. You're on the bench.
So you don't have to get ready.
I think I had been sitting over there probably 8, 9, 10 games, no playing, nothing. I was ready. I'd been ready. I stayed ready. So it's like, I think a minute and some left in the game, maybe a little more, and Chuck Daly was really pissed off at the whole 8-man rotation, really. He was really just, because they weren't doing nothing. They weren't playing well at all. And about that time, I think we were down 12, if I'm not mistaken, and he emptied the bench. Told all the guys, y'all come out, and he put us in. Now, I'm looking at him mad, and I wasn't past him. I was the last one to go in because everybody else jumped up. And I looked at him, I said, "Coach, can we shoot threes?" And he said, "I don't care what the F y'all do." He was mad.
He was trying to send his message to the 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
That's what he. Yeah.
So after he told me that, I ripped them warm-ups off. I went straight to Lance Blanks. I said, "Lance, bring me the ball." That's all. I said, "Don't pass nobody else the ball." He said, "Okay." He took the ball out of bounds, threw it straight to me. I pulled with the first three, made it. Second three, he came down. It was, we had a play called 15 and 19, which is the 1-5 to set the screen on the guard at top. And the guard go off, you either roll or step back to the three. So I was stepping back to the three. I wasn't going to roll. So I pulled back one time, and he tossed it back to me. I pulled another one.
Going to make a statement.
Yeah, so Dennis fouled this. I think he fouled somebody. He fouled one of the centers on their team, a power forward. He could have been Nolan Polonese. And they go to the other end, and they miss the free throw. I take the rebound, throw it to Lance, and meet him on the other side of the court, on the wing.
You done ran down to get it again.
I get it again, and he gave it to me again. I pump fake Olin Polonese and Michael Cage, pump fake one time, one dribble, and pulled another three. And I hit
and
that
drained
one.
That jump.
Yep.
Three of three.
Hit that
November
one.
November 6, 1990 against the Seattle Supersonics.
And then they called timeout, and Chuck put everybody else back in, and we lost.
Well, there is a I just have to ask you about this. There is a I don't know if it's a rumor or a recollection, but there was an article in 2022 about Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a story that John Wilfong came to visit you,
mm-hmm.
and that Dennis Rodman pulled John Wilfong aside and basically told him to tell you that you needed to grow up. Is that an accurate?
You know, I didn't learn about that till way later. I don't know if I was finished playing or not. I never knew that happened. Somebody told me. I think that came out in the first book Dennis wrote or something like that.
Okay.
And when I looked, I was like, when did this happen? You know.
Well, why would Dennis tell John? Why would he
not? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was like, when did this happen? Like, right. Who brought this up? And when me and Dennis was close on the team, me and Dennis talk about everything. He pulled me up, cussed me out, do whatever he had to do. He did it.
Right.
So why I'm thinking, why would he go and tell Wilfong this? You know, and me and him in practice every day, and we kick it every day after practice. You know, ride bikes, we got motorcycles, everything. We do, we talk, we hang out. You know, wait a minute, how did he tell you this? But I never addressed it. I never said anything about it because
– right.
I mean, hey, maybe I did need to grow up at that time. I was young.
Wilfong did come up there to visit you?
Yeah, he came to visit.
The other teammates?
I think he was there for a scouting, or they had somebody else coming in to try out. I'm not really sure why.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't just a special trip to come see me.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, me and him been going at it since high school.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How many of your guys from here did you stay close with, or did it sort of become everybody – going on about their ways and into their own life.
From
lives.
Here?
Yes.
Like guys on a team?
Sure. Whether and whether, you know, Dane and them reach, or whether, I guess Larry, all them. You know.
Well, my first year, I didn't get in touch with anybody. I didn't call them because I was still learning how to cope with being in the NBA. You're
supposed to go be a
traveling.
Man.
Traveling. Yeah, I got traveling. Got to know when to be the meetings. When you got four games a week in four different cities, it's hard to keep up with anybody else. You got to keep your mind on exactly what your job is, because you get fined the first minute you're late, and every minute after is $100. So if I'm late at 1 o'clock and then I still don't get there to 1:10, look at all that money I lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So we started being on time. You have to be on time. So I think I'm like that now. I always get there 10 or 15, maybe 20 minutes before time before I got to go in. Like today,
you,
how was I here? About 30 minutes
12,
before
25,
time?
12, 30, you said I'd be there at 12.
Yeah, so I'm always on time or always before time.
Well, if I can, I'm just going to reintroduce you. We're talking to the great William Bedford, who's going to be inducted into the American Basketball Hall of Fame later this year. Obviously, Memphis State legend. And I want to get your thoughts on the college game now, because last time we had you in here in 2018 – NIL didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Revenue sharing didn't exist. It was all a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have made, who knows? You were a 7-footer big man. You probably would have made $10 million in your college career.
Yeah.
And you probably, you know, who knows if you'd have finished it at Memphis or whatever. But I'm just curious, what's your stance on players getting paid? Do you like it? Where are you on it?
You know, I'm kind of 50-50 on the guys getting paid. You know, from NIL deals. Where I think it's okay at is because you're being able to help the kid and their family. Because let's face it, when your kid comes from home to go to college, home still has to take care of the kid. Even though you might have a scholarship, home got to still give you money for your toiletries and you got to eat and all that. So upon leaving then and you giving them NIL money, they'd still be more responsible for their own stuff, mm-hmm. how to grow up earlier, grow up faster. You know, because let's face it, you freshman year in college, you still a high schooler.
Yeah.
You know, still got the high school mentality. Now, as far as how I don't like it, it's because no player will stay put.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Prime example, Keith Lee, the University of Memphis. He will be, and right now is, the all-time leading scorer in school history. Okay? That's going to forever stand as long as those bricks are standing over there. You know why?
You're exactly right.
Because no kid is going to stay 4 years in school and build up stats the way he did.
Right.
It's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I kind of fault all the people that made that deal for the NIL stuff, because now the kids are not interested in trying to get to the higher level. They comfortable in college making this money. They buying Lamborghinis, Bentleys, Porsches. They buying all this stuff in college. You know, so why would I want to go to NBA? I got enough money now to open up a business, own a car like I want to, buy houses, do what I want. I have that now. You know, and I take my hat off to the ones that stay humble enough to get into the NBA because they already have the money.
There are guys who turn down entering the draft as projected first rounders,
right?
To go back to the
because they don't want to take the pay cut.
That's insane.
Yes,
it's insane that it's a pay cut to go to the NBA.
No kid is going to stay in school one place and build stats. Now I think it's hurting the kid because you can't tell me you're going to leave this school and I'm going to go to the next school and I'm going to put up numbers. No, you're not the number one guy.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now you want to leave there. You and your parents want to leave there because they want to give you $10,000 more over here. Okay, you leave and go over there.
Right.
You still don't have the stats. I mean, what are we going to look at to say as a team that we want this guy? Because he can do this, that, and the other well. How are they going to know that?
So how do you judge the job that Penny Hardaway's doing when the job has changed, right, Bedford? You know, the job has changed in terms of chemistry now. Well, now it's all about paying. Is a guy happy? Does he have enough money? How do we judge the job that Penny's doing when college athletics has changed so much?
I think every year, everybody need to pat him on the back. For the simple reason is, he's never coached none of those kids before. None of those kids ever played together before. And you got a bunch of egos out there, and as young as they are, if you piss them off too much, they're gonna leave and go somewhere else. You see, it's not like old school coaches. Old school coaches used to give you the blues, and you stayed right there and put up with it.
That's right.
And it made you better. It made you harder. Made you a better person and a better player.
Mm.
But now, you say something to me I don't like, we get into it, or I go to Ole Miss.
Out of here.
Or I go to Kansas, or I just leave here.
Oh, that's a guarantee.
It's crazy.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like for Memphis football right now. I know it's not basketball, but like they have this backup quarterback, this 4-star kid who's a freshman who they mm-hmm. paid a lot of money to be here.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not going to start. So is he going to leave after this? Like, you're giving $1 million just for him to be here for a year to not play, and then he's gone. That's a backwards system.
Because somebody else already won him.
Oh, for sure.
You just happen to be the one to get him this time.
Yeah.
Somebody else finna get him and give him more than 100. More than that one little meal that he got. Yeah, they're going to get more than that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you can't compete. It's tough.
Mm-mm.
It's tough. Like, you know, even, you know, when you came to Memphis, like, it was just like, this is a indoctrinated. You go to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that's
you go, and now it's like Memphis kids are just like, they don't even stay here for high school. They leave and go to prep school.
That's what I'm about to come to now. That also hurt high school kids because now they look at the colleges that's paying the money. Okay?
Yep.
And that's where they're going. Their parents and everybody's letting them go there. I don't care how far out of town it is, but you making the money, you can help send us some money back. You know, that's what they're doing. They're living off these kids. And this kid haven't even fulfilled his dream yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't agree with it. I don't believe in a one and done. One and done, nope. They should stay and see. It was mandatory for us to stay, what, at least 3 years?
Was it? Yeah.
3 years, at least 3.
Yeah.
It should be the same.
Well, it's the combination, right? It's the fact that revenue sharing money is exploding, and also the transfer rules have been completely stripped away. It's both, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. just sort of creating this very volatile, toxic, like, you know, the small schools, I don't even know how they exist. Not the Memphises of the world, but, you know, like the Murray States of the world.
Right.
Because even if you evaluate your ass off and you get the kid as a freshman, he comes in, he averages, see ya.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
All these small schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and because the at least that year penalty would, like, you know, save that off. But now it's like, any, you know, fair game.
Yeah.
So.
I don't understand it, man. And you know what? I think the rules are going to change again before it's all said and done. I think somebody is going to come up with something else.
Something that surprised me, I think, is how, and I'm just wondering where you're at on it, and it's a penny question, is how engaged he still is going into year eight with everything that's changed in college basketball, the nature of it now. You just had an All-American last year, finished second team, maybe All-American, and he's leaving you. You know what I'm saying? Going to not for the NBA, but for another school.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he's leaving you.
That's what I'm talking about.
But let's put ourselves in Penny's shoes, and you can do it easier than me. We've made millions, Bedford. Like, we got a signature shoe.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to be doing this. We could mm-hmm. be on a golf course right now, living it up, and I can be on any golf course I want to. And he's coming back for year eight. He's coming back to do this again. Half the time, the media is criticizing him or the fan base or whatever else. Does it surprise you that he's still this engaged and still wants to do it
yes.
with all of these challenges?
Yes, it does. And especially the way they keep trying to put him on probation for stupid stuff.
Just talk about it yesterday.
I'm like, man, Memphis in the basketball program is light. Whatever they did is very light compared to some of these other colleges. And we don't hear about that. I think people need to leave Penny alone, let him continue to do what he's doing, because the only reason he's still here because of the love of this city.
No doubt.
And the love of basketball.
It takes me back to Larry.
And how he wants to get these kids away from here and to having a better place. Leave him alone. That's what I say. Leave him alone. Let him continue to do him. You know, at least those kids right there. You see, how many of those kids over there with Penny have been arrested for DUI? How many of them been arrested in any sting? How many of them been driving into? How many of those kids over there have been in trouble, period? None.
Man, to your point, Alabama has some of that mess.
A lot.
Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, too.
I mean, that's football, but still. Like,
see, he cares about the kids, too. It ain't like he's just a coach, and when he finishes coaching, he leaves and don't talk to them. No, they go out to eat, have meetings. If he want to work out, somebody want to work out with him one-on-one. This is a head coach now. You want to work out with the head coach? You know, come on, he take time going to the gym with you. How many hours it take? It does not matter. His whole concept is getting you away from here being better as a person and as an athlete. That's why I say people need to leave him alone, because he go year eight and look at all the stuff he has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
the
game flipped on him. There's no doubt it did. But I do think he's equipped to, he's built for it. So,
well, he's got to be built for it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's there.
Yeah.
It surprises me.
I was going to say, we were talking about it yesterday. Like, if Penny ever stepped away, like, that job is it's harder than it's ever been in some ways.
Right.
And it's always been a pretty hard job, because they're, you know, it's pressure. Mm-hmm. It's a big time job. You get mm-hmm. paid well, but and now it's like you have to compete nationally with a budget that may or may not be national,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's the dynamic, you know, you used to be able to get every Memphis kid. Now that's gone.
Right.
So like you gotta really have some juice in that job in a way that you haven't had to have in the past.
Right. It's like a lot of people here ask me now, how come a lot of Memphis kids don't go to the University of Memphis instead of going somewhere else? And I told them, I said, the University of Memphis has one of the lowest NIL payments in college. So who's coming?
Well, it's not one of the lowest.
One of the lowest.
It can't be one of the lowest.
One of the lowest.
Now, who are you hearing that from?
Look it up. You got the computer.
Oh, man.
You got the computer. Look it up.
I might just give it to you. You tell me where you saw that. It's not top 25.
We're not top 50 either.
Some people think it's top 50.
No.
You think it's one of the lowest.
One of the lowest.
$5 million a year is one of the lowest.
Who making $5 million on a team?
Not per person.
Who making $5 million on a team? Who making $2 million on a team?
I don't know if they have a $2 million guy. I think they have.
Right.
They got multiple million-dollar guys, though.
Now what about the other guys?
Well,
other
teams,
other places.
Yeah, you're going to have
some. You can name me some 4-3 and 4-5.
No, for sure. I would not push back. Like, Texas Tech's Toppin's making like three to four.
Come on.
So that's in the Texas Tech is paying their athletes $55 million this year across all sports. $55 million. So I don't know. I look, when it comes to that, I don't know what you how you can expect Memphis to compete.
No, you know, some of this stuff is mind blowing. Like, what college was that when bought the whole football team trucks?
Oh,
was that SMU?
SMU.
Somebody down in Texas.
Oh yeah. My goodness!
Whole team got trucks.
The whole team, they bought them trucks, Dodge trucks.
When when Clyde Wade pulled up in an Escalade, it was like a big story around here.
You remember back in my time?
Yeah, all kind of investigation.
You remember back in my time how they did me about rental cars and cars I was driving from boosters? Remember that?
Oh, I was a little boy, nine-year-old boy then. Who was investigating you? Who was coming all behind? What reporter was all after you?
Man, I wish I could think of this guy's name, but he really drove me in.
Was he at the CA?
Yeah. I think he was.
We'll have to do something.
I think his name was Ron something.
Ron Higgins?
Had blonde hair.
Oh, that's Ron Higgins.
Ron Higgins
on your ass.
Man, that boy. We lucky we on the radio right now.
Ron covers LSU. Still.
Ron needs to.
He was doing his job.
Let me be quiet.
But
he was investigating all them extra benefits you were getting.
He was an investigative reporter.
He was a complete. He. Listen to me.
We can speak freely.
Now, check this out. Yeah, let's speak now. Let's get with it. Tell you what he did to me. Phoenix, first year. You know, when you seen the picture in the newspaper with me laying on the bins and all that, a picture he had in my bed. First time I ever been in the pictures in the bedroom, commercial appeal, all that stuff, you know. So he come to me, follow me around for about 2-3 days. Going out to eat, go to practice, at my house, everything I did in the car. He did the whole thing like a documentary, right? And what I was believed to be told that it was for a positive reason. Uh-huh. It was for to show Memphis how good our athletes get and how, you know, how my life was better and all that. This was supposed to be like that.
You would let him into the
exactly.
house.
Exactly. I let him in the house. I let him in the whole full-fledged everything. Because, you know, I'm from Memphis. I wanted our Memphis people to see I'm doing good away from home.
Yes.
Yeah.
At that time, I had a girl trying to put me on child support that it wasn't mine. Okay? When he come back, he plastered all over the papers, you know, showing my bins and all this stuff. Yeah, he facing child support. And look how he living with the $800 shoes and the bins and all that. Oh, man, that pencil destroyed me in that paper, man. Destroyed me. He turned that around so bad. So bad.
Did you call the paper and all that stuff? Or did you just say forget it? I'm in Phoenix now.
Now see,
old Memphis lied to me.
There we go. Another veteran. I'm not gonna tell you his name, but another veteran told me you cannot beat that pencil.
Because they got more ink than you can.
Yeah, he said one veteran
and
his name was Walter Davis.
Walter Davis, I remember that.
He told me, man, don't go back and retaliate saying nothing in these papers or took no news report about anything that you got a problem with. He said, Coach, you cannot win with that pencil. He said, it's going to beat you every time. And then as time went on, I seen exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah. What about the mic? Is the mic as powerful as the pen? Because it's like media has changed in that way, right? Like it's less about the pen now, and it's more like the video and the mic and the podcast.
Right, right. But then that comes to where you got to get people to tell the truth. You know, how many people are going to come on there and start lying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, thing will start blowing up. He's lying. He's not supposed to be in there telling that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's changed a lot. Media's changed a lot.
Well, and athletes have they do their own thing now. I mean, mm-hmm. you see so, like Paul George got a podcast. All these guys have podcasts on their own, which is they're telling their own story.
Right, right.
So, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think it's smart to do. You cut us out. You don't need us to tell your story.
You got
to
launch the William Bedford podcast.
You got a voice yours, and you're a good storyteller.
That's what I was looking at. It's like all these podcasts, what about the radio stations? Do they still, are they in cahoots with each other, or is somebody, are they in competition, or what?
I think they're different. I mean, I think they can coexist, but like a podcast is the thing about radio that I think is always going to win is that it's live.
Right.
I mean, a podcast can be live.
But most of them are taped.
Yeah, you usually hear it later. So they might be talking about something that happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago. It might not be as fresh, right? Like, radio is live all the time. So
I didn't think of it that way.
That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we love live television. We love live radio. We love live reactions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the magic of radio. I think that podcast can't capture. But a good podcast is, you know, no different than good radio, right? Like,
yeah, like you say, it's taped.
Yeah,
it's not live.
Yeah, but you got to do. Yeah, we got to get you on a podcast, man. You got to launch your William Bedford podcast where you tell a story about the old days.
Yeah, I
and the new days.
I would love to have a podcast with set up, you know, already set up with the TV monitors and all that stuff, but. You know, trying to get all that stuff together and putting the people in the right places is kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
But it's not hard to get guests. You can get guests 24/7 on the get a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants to be on your podcast.
That's right.
But it's just that trying to get all of it together and the right equipment and get everything done at the same time and make sure you got it all right, edited right, and it's a lot of work.
You have such a story though, and you've already, I'm sure, inspired a great many. I mean, you've been through so much, and we've talked about it. You talk so openly and honestly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. About things you've learned, about not being ready, not being professional enough, about making mistakes.
Right.
I just wonder if that's not, you know, I just listened to you talk about all the things that got to go to it. You just mentioned kind of having a anxiety thing. Sometimes mm-hmm. we see things as too big.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that same thing. I can really sort of relate to that. But there's so much for us to learn from you, it feels like, whether it's as a city or us as individuals, just listening to your story. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you're comfortable enough telling it, which it always seems like you've had been, man, the rest of it, brother, is just...
Well. I'm comfortable with telling. Yeah, I'm comfortable telling because see, most of the things people know, like all the dirt and bad stuff, that's public knowledge.
It's all been out there.
Yeah, it's been out there for a long time, and I got people that still want to ask me. I said, "Look, that was part of my life that was back then. Why are you still bringing that up now?
Right?
You know, that was 40 years ago.
Yep.
So you mean you still bringing up old dirt from 40 years? Don't make sense to me.
Right.
You know, that was a part of my life I lived. That's over with. I'm into a different lifestyle now.
That's right.
You know, my kids are adults now, and I got a new marriage, and I'm doing other things that I want to do, you know.
You're not defined by that. You're living
not
your
at
purpose
all.
Now
not
in
at
this
all.
Life. I think that's awesome that you're at a peace.
Mm-hmm. I got my foundation going now, the William Bedford Jr. Foundation. I got that going, and what I'm doing is mainly – not only feeding the kids in Orange Mound, but feeding the kids everywhere. You know, we just can't just feed one group of kids and let the other one starve. And then also I'm trying to help with mental illness, trying to help people with distress and mental illness. I also have a power washing company to where I want to help the guys from Second Chance Act, you know, when they get rid of a new job and then they come in and start, you can power wash.
Because it's so challenging for them
simple.
To get something.
Right.
They
it's something simple, something you can look forward to doing until you move on.
Right, show that commitment, that consistency.
Right, right.
And that's so what do you need for those things to get up off the ground? Where can folks help this foundation? You know, I mean, we all, in terms of it's not just a one-man thing. In terms of if we want to help you with these things, how can we?
Mainly right now, I haven't gotten everything together yet. Uh-huh. Like, you know, but I do know you can donate or, you know, I'm still looking for sponsors. Mainly, I have my wife running most of the stuff, so all
well,
I
know
do
it's going to be run tight then.
Yeah, so I just make appointments and talk to people and interview when I'm supposed to.
Can you get Golden Wildcats basketball back? I already know you're feeding Orange Mound and everything and all that. You want to feed all of Memphis. I don't know, kid.
Well,
man, back in and Chris, when Chris Jones and Adonis were still there, man,
see,
they were still winning state titles.
Well,
I don't know
see,
if
the kids are going there. The kids are going there. We went to that school because from the neighborhood, we wanted to go there. Wanted to go there and play ball.
Oh, yeah, and they still had it together. That's what I'm saying. Years and decades later. Chris and Adonis, you know, Adonis was coming from over, but there was still some Orange Mound up in there.
It's not many.
Mark Hill.
6'2", 6'3", 6'5", guys around no more.
Well, that's because all of y'all, and that's what I've always said, is you and Keith didn't have enough kids.
I got enough, trust me.
Yeah. Well, we don't produce the 7-footer anymore.
No, we don't do that.
Well,
we haven't. He might be the only one.
Because y'all were coming out left and right there for a minute. We were producing bigs left and right.
Yeah, it was for a while.
Even Cage in West Memphis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, them too. Then you got to look at the Lawson boys.
They're basically 7 foot.
Yep.
I mean, with the length.
Keelan was the last. I don't know. Again, I don't know if we make them anymore over 6'7", 6'8", anymore coming up. Oh, there's one at Bartlett, though, DJ.
Who?
This kid. OKOTH. He's blowing up. He's going to be a sophomore at Bartlett, 2028.
Well, he
DJ Okoth.
If he's as good as
he's
you
a
say
wing
he
right
is,
now,
then.
I don't know. He's not a big, but he's a wing.
What about Lil Fred?
He's not a big.
Fred's interesting.
Fred's real interesting.
He's not a big though, right?
Man, Fred got the whole package.
I know, but he's like he's four stars.
He can play big. He can play one, two, three, four, and five.
See, that's one Bev's got to get.
Man,
we've always it feels like he's locked in. Like
I mean, first of all, his name is Fred Smith. Okay, he has to go to Memphis.
Listen, that boy's gonna do damage wherever he goes.
You're that high on him.
I'm hoping.
I've been watching
plays.
Him train and work out since he was 8, 9 years old. I've been watching his dad work him out in the garage that long.
His dad can still dunk. It's crazy. Man, try to hop.
At 100 years old, he still can dunk.
It's crazy.
Man, he had the hops. He's always had them.
I hope Fred Smith Jr. is a multiple-year player.
Man, he's serious. I think – now, let me tell you why I think he's going to get real serious and real hard at it when he's by himself. When you stop having a lot of people do this.
Well, that's
blah, blah, blah.
That can always be the challenge, right? And we've talked about that.
By the time he gets on by himself, he's gonna have to. All that stuff is gonna work because you've already instilled all that into him. So when he go away from you, it's not like he's going away if you mess up. He's gonna go away. He's gonna go away and make you proud. Trust that.
Love it.
That's the kind of kid he is.
Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Well, man, this has been great. We did a full hour. It feels like 15 minutes.
Y'all made me late to my doc's appointment.
Oh, man. No, you made yourself late to the.
No, yeah. Jason wanted to start talking. So.
I did. I always want to ask you about the old days. And
yeah. I mean, we really could. We could.
How in the world you made that many threes? It sounds like you could play for Boston right now.
That's
shoot
right.
60 a game.
Man,
you'd fit right in.
Do you know if I play in the NBA right now, my first contract that I would ask for would be $106 million for 3 years?
Porzingis, William Porzingis.
I kill him.
Well, yeah.
I kill him.
he took himself out of that series. I don't know what he got. Now he's in Atlanta.
Oh, what about your boy Chet? He'd give you the blues.
No, sir.
And yeah, and you like him. He's on your team.
They're different now.
Listen.
He go right around you.
Off the bounce.
Please listen. They can't hold me in the elevator.
That's like when Lionel told me.
Chet would not be able to guard you, but I think he would definitely be a challenge for you.
Well, he would. On offense, I think.
He going to bring you out there.
Yeah, I'm taking him out there, too.
Okay. But, we just got a shoot-off.
He was doing it in 90.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't
you
care.
Started the, you start, in many ways, you started.
But you know what? This is what puzzles me, and I look at it all the time. It's like the year I was out there shooting three-pointers and I used to come out and practice three-pointers before the game. People, you're supposed to be in the paint. You ain't supposed to be out
there. Flipped it on
right.
You.
Hold up. You're a seven-footer. You get in the paint. You don't need to be out there. Because Ralph Sampson started all that, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So, how about the year I leave, the following year, here come Dirk Nowitzki, and y'all saw the old glory of seven-footer shooting threes. That killed me.
All of a sudden, it's cool.
That
and it's the
killed
thing
me.
To do. And it's
the
uniform.
Next year, he come in shooting threes, and you went, holy glory. Here go a guy that can shoot three-pointers, and he's a seven-footer.
Yep.
I just tried to show you that.
They weren't ready for it, Big Bedford.
So they took a year? They took a year.
They weren't ready.
They took 1 year to get ready.
You were ahead of your time.
You really were.
Man.
They really did y'all wrong back then, man. They didn't let y'all. They didn't really let
you know,
y'all cook.
I didn't. I don't think it's doing wrong. I think that's all they knew.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In those times, things were a lot slower, and technology wasn't like it is now.
That's right.
I think it was just
there were no analytics.
No, they were just doing what they knew.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And it worked. I mean, the Chicago Bulls won lots of championships, mm-hmm. not shooting threes.
Mm-hmm.
They just had Michael Jordan.
A lot of guys. And see, people think Michael Jordan did a lot of threes out there. No, he didn't.
Barely.
He had a heck of a perimeter game.
Yeah. He had everything. Well, you got to get to your doctor's appointment, man. This has been great.
Congratulations again on the Hall of Fame.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The great William Bedford, always a treat when we can get him in studio. American Basketball Hall of Famer. Love that. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Jason and John, I'm trying to find me ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.